it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
On X, at Rich Zeoli, 91% to 86% enthusiasm. That is a big deal. It's a big deal. In 2021, Republicans didn't think he could win. So 400,000 of them stayed home. In 2025, the people going out to vote for him, 91% of the people feel enthusiastic about voting for him versus 86% for Cheryl. Now, that's only 5 percentage points, not that huge, but you consider that in 2021, Jack lost by less than 3 percentage points. That 5% makes a huge difference in turnout. It could make all the difference. It could put him in the governor's mansion in Drumthwacket, as it's called. Because if Republicans believe he can win, I've often said in politics and in life, too, I think, enthusiasm begets enthusiasm. So if you're excited about something, other people feel that excitement, and then they get excited, too. And then that excitement becomes, well, the kind of thing that leads to inevitability. In politics, we saw that with President Trump, and I think we're seeing that with Jack in New Jersey as well, which is why Mikey Sherrill is going so incredibly low, attacking Jack and accusing him of basically being a mass murderer and saying that he killed all these people by making marketing materials and an app for companies that made opioids in New Jersey. What Mikey Sherrill has not told you is that she's accepted over $25,000 in money from these same pharmaceutical companies. Now, let's think about this for a second. Jack was a third-party vendor. He made marketing materials and he created an app. Therefore, he's a mass murderer, which means then, by extension, anybody who did business with or worked for one of these companies is also a mass murderer. So if you're Mikey Sherrill, you have no problem taking their money. You just have a problem with them making the money because that makes them mass murderers. But you'll still take the money if they give it to you for your campaign. Right. New Jersey has a lot of industries. Pharmaceuticals happen to be one of the state's largest employers. They employ a couple hundred thousand people directly or indirectly. Many people work there. Many people are consultants. Many people drive trucks. They do third-party licensing agreements with pharmaceutical companies, and those pharmaceutical companies also own buildings and pay property taxes. And I guess anybody who takes money, including the municipalities who take the property tax money, they're also mass murderers. Murderers. Again, if you're going down this line, who isn't? Basically everybody. All the pharmaceutical companies, all the pharmacies, all the doctors, all the employees, all the receptionists, the security guards, everybody. They're all in on it. Round up the usual suspects. They're all in on it. Now, I've been in Jersey politics a long time. It's the most absurd claim I've ever heard in my entire life, and I've heard them all. I really have. I've heard them all. But this one takes the cake. But the reason why she's doing this is because of the enthusiasm factor. The enthusiasm factor for Jack is huge. 91% to 86%. That extra 5% makes all the difference in getting out the vote. So he loses in the last election by less than 80,000 votes. 400,000 Republicans stayed home. Which means that if even 100,000 of those Republicans had come out, he would have won. Obviously, this time around, if 91% say they're enthusiastic about voting for him, that means that A, they like him, and B, they think he can win. Because there isn't a lot of enthusiasm for a candidate that people think is going to lose. That's just the way it is. That's life. You're not enthusiastic about your job if you don't think your company's going to be around. You're not enthusiastic about your spouse if you think your spouse is being unfaithful to you. You're not enthusiastic about your football or baseball team if they keep losing and breaking your heart. Enthusiasm begets enthusiasm. You may not be likely to turn out to vote if you're like, "Bah, I don't know. I mean, guy's not going to win. Guy doesn't have a chance. It's Jersey. It's blue. It's raining out. I got a late meeting. My kids are sick." Whatever it is. But if you think he can win, you go out to vote. Why did thousands of people show up on a cold Friday in Wildwood, New Jersey? Right as the state was about to get hit by a nor'easter, even though the nor'easter was, in my opinion, a total freaking bust. But nevertheless, on Friday, when we were down there, all we heard was that a nor'easter was coming. Thousands of people still showed up on a Friday in October in North Wildwood. By the way, you should mark your calendar for Halloween, because we'll be back in Cape May County at the Grand Hotel of Cape May on Friday, October 31st, for our Halloween extravaganza. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And yes, there'll be lots of treats, the adult kind. So it'll be fun. So make sure you join us for that, October 31st. I'm not clear if we're going to have costume. I would say this. If you want to dress up, dress up. You want to wear a costume? Dress up. Maybe we'll do like a costume competition. The problem is I can't legally say anything on the air if we're going to do a contest, because then it has to go through 87 different approvals at corporate involving attorneys and the FCC. And so all I can tell you is this. If at the Grand Hotel, we decide to do a spur-of-the-moment contest that I'm not part of, that is not over the air, that they decide to do, that's on them. I can't stop them. It's not my place. So knowing that, you decide to wear a costume, that's on you. If you decide not to, that's also on you. I personally would love it if you dressed up. I'm going to go as a radio host. That's going to be my costume. And a Fox News. I'm not a contributor, but I'm going to dress up as one for the Grand Hotel broadcast. I'm not officially a contributor, though I will be on America's Newsroom again next week, probably on Tuesday again. They kind of like me on Tuesdays, but I'm not officially a Fox News contributor yet. However, I can dress up as one for Halloween. I can also be a vampire slayer. I could also be John Fetter person, because I could just wear a shorts and a hoodie, and like that's my costume. That guy's going to get primaried, by the way. I told you this yesterday on the show. Well, there's audio on that today. He's going to face a primary challenge. It's what everybody's talking about. And he responded to that last night. He had a lot of very reasonable, sensible things to say, which means his time is probably coming to an end. He loses the Democrat primary, and he probably will just retire and do something else. I don't think he's having much fun. I think that he is a very good politician, but he's obviously suffered some major health setbacks, and I think his conversion has probably cost him personally. I don't see him wearing a wedding ring. I don't know if he ever did wear a wedding ring, but you know all those rumors about Giselle not being particularly thrilled with his new stance on things. Well, anyway, Michael is that. That's an easy costume. Just shorts and a hoodie and a bald head, which could happen to me because I'm not going to take Propecia anymore. You know, I was taking Propecia for years. And that story came out. I was linked to anxiety and depression. I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. I got enough problems. So anyway, I could be bald by the 31st. Who knows? I've been taking it since I was in my 20s. I digress. The point is this. Jack can win this race. And the enthusiasm factor for him coming out in Wildwood on a rainy, not rainy, but a cold, chilly with rain in the forecast Friday in October speaks to that fact. Thousands of people showing up. So I've seen that enthusiasm. You've seen that enthusiasm. You might have joined us for that rally in North Wildwood, or you might have watched it. You might have streamed it. You might have seen the clips. You know about it. I also know that the NJ Chase, so Cliff Maloney has the PA Chase, and he's expanded it, into New Jersey, and they are knocking on, 500,000 doors in New Jersey, 500,000. In one town alone, they've already knocked on 2,500 doors in a town that, if Jack wins that, it'll be huge. So the enthusiasm factor is also leading to other people getting involved in this race, people like Cliff Maloney, Scott Pressler, and other people. They're joining in on this race as well. They're joining in because they see the enthusiasm, they feel the enthusiasm, and they very much believe Jack can win. They wouldn't be wasting their time knocking on doors. They would not be wasting their time organizing all these people if they didn't think the guy could win. So, you know, I'm just saying. The enthusiasm was a bust. The Nor'easter was a bust for me personally, Michael Pelka. He just texted me and said the Nor'easter was not a bust. LSD lost big chunks of beach. So did New Jersey beaches. I think you're on LSD. All I know is that I had to go to my son's 3 soccer games and my daughter's 2 games, and I thought I was going to be on the couch all day on Sunday, and I was at games from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday. So that's all I know. From my perspective, it was a bust. All right? If the beach got lost, it's one thing, but I still had to go to my kids' soccer games. So for my, and again, it's all about me, obviously. And like every other parent, thinking, oh my gosh, I may get a Sunday off from kids' sports. I can tell you every parent at those games was saying the exact same thing because I was talking to them, going, where is this freaking Nor'easter that we're supposed to get? Again, I digress. Point is this. Jack's got the momentum, and Mikey Sherrill is getting more and more desperate. So her attacks are ratcheting up now, doubling down on Jack. Says it at a debate. She goes, you kill tens of thousands of people. And then she says it again in a press conference. I told you, I was with my buddies over the weekend. Guys I've been in politics with in Jersey for years. I mean, people, I was a Republican County chairman with some of these guys 20 years ago. So there's smart people who've been involved in politics. And we all said the same thing. We said, what do you think? Is this a one and done? This attack on Jack? They said one and done. That was on Saturday. On Monday, Mikey Sherrill says this. So let's start with cut number one. This is the New Jersey Democrat gubernatorial nominee, Mikey Sherrill, doubling down on claims that Jack is a mass murderer, cut number one.
I think that Jack is personally responsible for opioid deaths, tens of thousands of opioid deaths in New Jersey.
I think we've laid out the case that Jack is complicit with these opioid, in league with these opioid companies.
So you're no longer saying he killed tens of thousands of New Jersey residents.
Look, I think he is right there with the people that, again, paid billions of dollars. So I think that the line is pretty clear.
What about you for taking $25,000 for your campaign from these murderers, from these mass murderers? How is that not complicity? And every single person involved in the production, manufacturing, distribution, in any way, shape, and form, including the power companies that kept the lights on, how are they all not complicit in this? It is beyond ridiculous and absurd. But this is what happens when you're losing. You got to go very, very low. And I mean, I've seen it all. This is something I've never seen. Nobody's ever seen this. Why would you be giving him all this attention if you thought you were winning? If your internal polling show that you were winning, why would you bother? Now, the Quinnipiac poll that came out does show Mikey Sherrill has a lead. But Jack's got the enthusiasm. I wasn't polled. You probably weren't polled. I don't know these people who get polled. But I do know, though, that people lie to pollsters all the time. And I've told you this before. They lie about who they're going to vote for, but they never lie about how they feel about things. So the best way for a pollster to know somebody is lying is you call them up, you go, like for president, for example, who are you voting for? They go, Joe Biden. You say, well, why? They go, hang on, I had a sneeze, but I didn't have to sneeze. They go, well, I think the country's on the wrong track. Things are too expensive and the place is a mess. But you're voting for Joe Biden? Yeah. No, you're not. And you weed right through that. Jack's on a tear because he has the enthusiasm. This is cut number two, Fox News report on the latest poll. Take a listen.
91% are very or somewhat enthusiastic are backing Cittarelli, and 86% are very or somewhat enthusiastic about backing Mikey Scherer. I think you see it on the ground as well. He's surging right now because he's going out there meeting with people.
Yeah. If a Republican wins in such a blue state like New Jersey, that is incredible. That shows you the culture shifting amongst voters in our country. But how can you vote for someone who doesn't know, she doesn't sound like she's telling the truth in that sound bite with Charlemagne about the 7 million. She's telling two different stories about being able to walk at the Academy. What's the truth?
Yeah. She is. I mean, basically, you see some Democratic, unknown Democrats saying basically she's running for office because she can fly helicopters.
Right.
That's why. I mean, she really
got to know more.
People like the story.
People like the story of her flying helicopters. They did. They did at one point. They did. But it's not enough to give them the enthusiasm factor. And then they say, well, how do people feel about her Navy service? And they go, oh, they like that. Well, you know why they like it? I'll tell you why they like it. Because they don't know what to say to a pollster. When a pollster asks them, how do you feel about her service in the United States Navy? They go, oh, I think it's great. Because you don't want to say anything else. So you're going to go, oh, it's great. But you may not care. You're going to say that because you think you have to. It's like one of those things you just feel like you have to. Otherwise, you're going to be accused of not being pro-veteran or something like that. But it doesn't mean you really do. Or you might think it's great, but it also doesn't mean that you think that she should be governor. You may think, oh, great, she served our country. She was in the Navy. Okay, great. But it doesn't mean then that you're going to turn around and go, hey, you know what? I think she should be governor of New Jersey. That's another factor in all this. So all these things matter going into this race, which is only a couple weeks away, and early voting starts next week, I believe. So that is also something you got to consider. Republicans don't like early voting. Republicans don't like mail-in balloting, and yet they are going out there. And then Jack got a big endorsement today by the International Association of Firefighters. Local 22 endorsed Jack Cittarelli. They represent hundreds of firefighters and their families who have lived and retired in New Jersey. And they announced their endorsement of him. That also comes when he's got the endorsement of the New Jersey police, and he's got the endorsement of the national police as well. So he's got the momentum. He's got the enthusiasm factor. And Mikey Sherrill's attacks, I think, are so incredibly asinine that they're just the kind of thing that people go, what? And then if I work in the pharmaceutical industry, as hundreds of thousands of people do, I turn around and I go, you're attacking my industry? I mean, haven't I been through enough? I get it. I get it everywhere. Now I'm going to get it from you. What kind of a friend am I going to have as governor in this industry? All these things matter heading into this election. They really, really do. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, Vanaria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. You'll be enthusiastic about getting that beautiful smile that you deserve, because Dr. Mike has great enthusiasm for all of his patients, because it's about care and it is about compassion. All right, quick break. We'll come right back. Got a lot to get to today. John Fetterman, AOC. Bernie jumping to AOC's defense. Will she primary Chuck Schumer? The president going to make an announcement from the Oval Office. He's going to meet with Vladimir Putin. Is that what the announcement is about? He wants to see this war come to an end, and he said he's going to be meeting with Putin. All that is straight ahead. It's Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a busy Thursday. Just so you know, tomorrow I have to MC a big dinner for veterans. It's the Patriot Fund, their annual gala. They asked me to be the MC. I was honored to do so, but it also starts at 5 o'clock. So I'm pretty sure Michael Pelk is going to be in. But I don't know, because now that he made his snarky little comments, maybe not. But we'll see. Either way, We got a big show for you today and a lot to get to. So let's get right to it. I'll tell you, as I was thinking about the race for governor of New Jersey and I was thinking about the race for governor of Virginia, I kept thinking about one thing, too, and that is this. I was thinking that these Democrat candidates should be running away with this right now. They really should. They should be running away with it. And yet they're both under fire. There's a lot of problems with both of these candidates. And the key, particularly with New Jersey, is that if Jack wins and you think Trump won or almost, I should say not won, but he only lost by less than 6%. That means then New Jersey's purple. We know Virginia is. And that makes New Jersey purple, too. That's a big change. If New Jersey is no longer a blue state, but can be a purple state, same thing with Virginia. And I know that there, Spanberger has a bigger lead than Mikey Sherrill does in Jersey. So I think it's going to be more of an uphill battle in Virginia. But either way, what this means, though, is that a state that was a reliably blue state now is in play going forward. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's been a long time since Republicans have voted statewide for a Republican, or I should say voters have for a Republican running for U.S. Senate. But a lot's changing right now. And a lot of people feel very much like the Democrats have screwed things up and the party keeps going further and further to the left. As evidenced by Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman. Pennsylvania, reliably purple state now that went very red for President Trump the last time around. Shapiro, everybody says he's going to be a cakewalk for him. I think Stacey Garrity is going to give him a run for his money. I really do. Talked to her last week. She's fired up. It's a long way to go in this. I know that people are very unhappy with SEPTA. They're very unhappy with a lot of things. And they feel like the state is also getting expensive. But the other factor to consider in all this is that when people look at Democrats nationally right now, they see a party that is freaking nuts. So here's Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman. This is cut number four, criticizing Democrats over the government shutdown. And he's a guy now that has said, you know what? You got to put country over party. And for that, it's going to cost him a primary election. He may very well lose. He may very well not be able to fend off an opponent, because how dare he put country over party? How dare he decide to do what he believes is right for the state of Pennsylvania, for the Commonwealth, for the residents, and for the country writ large? Cut number four.
That's why shutting the government is really what the Democratic Party wants to do. And I follow country, then party. And it's the wrong thing for the country in a period of chaos. I refuse to vote to shut our government down. I absolutely would love to have... I would love to have a conversation about extending the tax credits for health care. Absolutely. But I would remind everybody, too, this was designed by the Democratic Party to expire at the end of the year. This is not something taken by the Republicans. They were designed to expire. Now, let's have a conversation to extend it and not shut our government down.
He also talked about the fact that Republicans are not Nazis and they're not fascists. Again, can't say these things today if you're a Democrat. You're supposed to call them Nazis and fascists. This is why John Fetterman politically might be in some serious trouble here. This is cut number five.
I grew up in a conservative part of Pennsylvania, and I grew up and I know and I love people that voted for President Trump, but they are not fascists. They're not Nazis. They're not trying to destroy the Constitution, those things. And that's part of another thing. I refuse to call people Nazis or fascists, or I would never compare anybody to Hitler and those things. And that kinds of extreme rhetoric is going to continue. We're going to be more likely in resulting in extreme kind of outcomes and political violence and doing all these kinds of things. Like Charlie Kirk, for me, all I could say is like, let people grieve, give people the space. I'm not going to use that terrible thing and that Pasek assassination to make my argument and try to put out my views. It's like, my God, you know, he's a father that had his neck blown out by a bullet. And now people have forgotten. President Trump was in my state, was shot in the head.
And if that would have, could you imagine where our nation would be if he was hit in the same way with Kirk? We really got to turn the temperature down. And we can agree to disagree on these kinds of things. But right now, shutting down the government, I just can't take it that.
The extremism is getting worse by the day. And it's the Democrat Party's extremism that's getting worse by the day. Now, he may still vote like a Democrat on most issues. But he's saying these things, and he's saying the quiet part out loud. And for that, he will get a primary challenge because you can't even say that. You could vote with them 99% of the time. You could be the best Democrat ever. But if you're not willing to call your opponents fascists and Nazis, if you're not willing to do those things and say those things about them, there's no place for you here. There's no place for you, Johnny boy. No place. This is cut number six.
You know, if you're thinking about winning the election, you know, and so now that's all going to come down to seven or eight states. And that's really that matters. And I would like to remind everybody, because we all know that Trump ran the table all of those kinds of states. And now you can't ever forget, these are the states that are going to determine who's going to be the next administration. And now a lot of the things, the extremism that people turn their back in 24, and that's how we kind of came up short. I mean, you know, I campaigned for thousands and thousands of miles across Pennsylvania for Vice President Harris. And it was going to be incredibly difficult. You could just feel the energy there. And people really have connected there at a very fundamental level. And that's what I tried to explain to my party. And I'm trying to explain to the party right now. It's like, this is why we lost. And this is where we need to be to continue to win for these things. And there are parts of extreme things emerging clearly on those things. And that's why I refuse to follow that, even if that is going to cost me support in parts of the base.
Do you think Harris could have got...
See that? I think it is beyond ridiculous that you can say these things as a Democrat and then get blasted by your party and then you are basically done. That's what I think. I think that we have reached a point now where bipartisanship is completely and utterly dead in this country. There can't be bipartisanship right now. There just can't be. They simply won't have it. They won't have it. And that's where we are. So then, as you understand, when people say the Democrats are crazy, it's not just people like me saying the Democrats are crazy. It's Democrats who are saying the Democrats are crazy. Because they are. And when you bring it up to AOC and you say to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Sandy from Yorktown, you go, hey, you're going to primary Chuck Schumer? Let's cube cut number 12 here. You're going to primary Chuck Schumer? You're going to go after him? You're going to go after Chuck Schumer and try to take his Senate seat? And then Bernie is not having it. Bernie jumps right into defender. Cut 12.
But are you saying that Senator Schumer should not be worried about a primary challenge from you?
I mean, no.
This is what we're talking about.
That's
exactly what we're talking
about. This is what we're talking about.
We have a country that is falling apart. We have a housing crisis, a health care crisis, an education crisis, massive income and wealth inequality, a corrupt campaign finance system, and the media says, oh, are you going to run? What are you going to run for? Nobody cares. So one more time.
Nobody cares. It's the House Speaker and President Trump and the Vice President saying it.
Right.
Pardon?
Well, of course, they're saying it to deflect attention away from the real issues.
Exactly.
And here, let me tell you what the real issue is. Let's see if CNN talks about it. We're living in the richest country in the history of the world, right? All right, you tell me why we're the only nation not to guarantee health care to all people. The only nation not to guarantee paid family and medical leave. Why we have a $7.25 an hour minimum wage. Why we have 800,000 people sleeping out on the street. Why we have a president who denies the reality of climate change. Why we have oligarchs on top who have more and more power every day. Let's talk about that issue, mm-hmm. not her own mm-hmm. political future. She'll decide that.
Well, way to jump in and mansplain for her, huh? Way to jump in, Bernie, and defend your lady. I mean, that is true chivalry right there. And you thought chivalry was dead. No. Bernie will jump right in there and answer the question for her, defend her, and then attack the oligarchs. Attack the oligarchs do it all at once. Protect Sandy, and he will defend her, and he will answer for her, because that is what a gentleman does. Cuts off the woman and answers for her, all right? Don't let her speak. You jump in and you answer. Also, what's wrong with asking about somebody's political ambition? You're a politician. Why can't you ask that question? It's a legitimate question. I think the answer is yes. Otherwise, she'd say, no, of course not. I love Chuck Schumer. He's a great guy. He's a great senator. Love working with him. Instead, Bernie has to come in and save the little innocent woman who can't handle the questions from the mean woman sitting there, because chivalry is not dead. All right. Veneria Dental, my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. So what does it mean to be about care and compassion versus cost? You know what it means? It means that you will get exceptional dental care. It means that you will be in the right hands with the guy who other dentists send their patients to. So let's say you need really complicated dental work. I'm talking about, say, like a dental implant, something very, very specialized. You don't want to go to the closest dentist. You don't want to go to the dentist that is part of one of these big chain dental companies that are always advertising on national television. No, they're concerned about is cost. Dr. Mike Veneria, for 12 years in a row, other dentists have sent their patients to Dr. Mike for the really complicated stuff. And he's been recognized among his peers as the best, the undisputed master of dental implants. Excuse me, that's Dr. Mike Veneria. And he has two locations for you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. So the only question I have is, what are you waiting for? You go see Dr. Mike, get a great smile. If you've been putting off getting an implant consultation, stop putting it off. It's free. And if you've already had an estimate for a dental implant, get a second opinion with Dr. Mike. Can't hurt. Plus, he's my entire family's dentist. So the whole Zioli family goes to him because we trust him. And last year, Bridget got a beautiful smile upgrade from Dr. Mike when she needed to have her veneers replaced, and he gave her beautiful new caps, and her whole smile looks just absolutely even more beautiful. So trust my family dentist and trust the undisputed master of dental implants and complex dental procedures, Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. 856-786-2020, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. So that means that President Trump is speaking. So we're going to jump into that live. But before we do, I want to tell you about Bob's Little Sports Shop, because they have a great event coming up for ladies. Ladies only shooting event, October 25th. So if you are a lady, you can bring your mom. You can bring your daughter. You can bring your lady friends. Bob's Little Sports Shop. What Bob's is all about is about helping people become safe, responsible gun owners. And I love the people at Bob's. I love that they stand with our show. And even though they have an incredible selection of firearms, Bob's isn't just about having great firearms. It's about great people and classes. They even have gun cleaning classes as well for only $35, manufacturer specific. They also help you get your renewal certifications. Make sure your license is current. And if you are a woman and you'd like to go to their ladies shooting event, it's the perfect opportunity for you to learn beginner experience, whatever. You'll work with certified NRA trainers, and you can register now for the event and to learn to protect yourself by professionals who know how to shoot. Now, no alcohol or drugs permitted, and you don't need a firearms ID card or any prior experience required. Just go to bobslittlesportshop.com and register today. And while you're there, you can see their selection of classes. You can also stop in. They're right on Delsey Drive in Glassboro. You can see their amazing selection of firearms and meet with them personally. Their range is outstanding, And the people are great as well. So go to BobsLittleSportsShop.com. And remember, ladies only shooting event October 25th. Okay, mark your calendar for that. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop. Let's jump into President Trump.
$5,000 can actually go a lot higher than that. And many couples require multiple rounds for a successful pregnancy. A major reason for these high prices is the excessive cost of the drugs involved. The number one fertility drug used in IVF is currently 700% more expensive in the United States than the rest of the world. And you know, we're ending all of that. It's called favored nations, and we're ending it, and we're ending it pretty fast. Nobody thought we'd be able to do it, and we've done it. Drugs are going to come down. Drug prices are coming down 400%, 200%, 600%, numbers that nobody's ever seen before. Great for Medicare, Medicaid, even Social Security. Great for everything, I think, Dr. Oz. So that's something that's, to me, it's very exciting. I'm bugging him and Bobby all the time. How are we doing with that? And we're doing really good, Bobby. It's really going good. Other countries are agreeing to it, because if they don't, we put tariffs on them. And then they agree. So it's amazing. It's amazing how that worked out. But as an example, in London, you'd buy a certain drug for $130, and even less than that, I guess, $88 as of account a month ago. And in New York, you pay $1,300 for the same thing. So now we're going to be paying, instead of $1,300, you'll be paying about $150. And they'll be paying $150, too. We're going to pay the same thing. Favored nations. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And we've been ripped off by the whole world for a long period of time. One of the most popular fertility drug regimens costs over $5,000 per cycle, as an example. Wow. Largely as a result of these unsustainable prices, 70% of the employers do not offer insurance that covers IVF. Therefore, most couples with fertility challenges are paying these costs entirely out of their own pockets, which is not really possible to do. Oh, look who we have. Look at that. The great Maria Bartiromo. I didn't know. Did you get put into the regular pool pack? That's very good. That's good. Nice to see you. I'm doing an interview with her in a little while. In the Trump administration, we want to make it easier for all couples to have babies, raise children, and start the families they've always dreamed about. That's why today I'm pleased to announce that after extensive negotiations, EMD Serono, the largest fertility drug manufacturer in the world, has agreed to provide massive discounts to all fertility drugs they sell in the United States, including the most popular drug of all, the IVF drug Gonal-F. So it's Gonal-F. Is that a proper pronunciation?
Very
close
well
enough,
done.
Right?
Well,
Gonal-F. As part of this agreement, EMD Serono will list their fertility drugs online at TrumpRx.gov at very, very heavily reduced prices, prices that you won't even believe. And ultimately, that's because of the favored nations. In addition, the FDA will be working with the company to expedite review and approval of another common fertility IVF drug, and currently it's selling in Europe. It's Pergoveris. Pergoveris. And that's a sounding nice name. Pergoveris. Why can't you name them nice, simple names? Nice, easy names. Doesn't matter. If it works, that's all we care about, right? Upon approval, this drug would directly compete against a much more expensive option that currently has a monopoly in the American market, and this will bring down costs very significantly. And the other one's going to have to come down also. Finally, EMD Serono has agreed that all future drugs and everything that it develops and sells in the United States will be offset at most favored nation prices. I've been after this for a long time. And we started the process in the last administration, and then we had a little thing called COVID that came up. We had to focus on that, did a good job on that too. And they'll bring a significant portion of their drug manufacturing back to the United States. So they're going to bring it largely back into the United States. And that's for a lot of reasons, but primarily because of the election result, November 5th, and maybe most importantly because of the tariffs, because if they do it here, there are no tariffs. So we have, we're going to be very close. I think by the end of this year, we're going to be very close to $20 trillion in investment. As an example, the Biden administration had less than $1 trillion, substantially less than $1 trillion for 4 years, Maria. Can you imagine? 4 years, less than one. We're going to break $20 trillion of investment, and we're already over $17 trillion. And that's in 8 months. Can you believe that? And he was at less than $1 trillion. And in addition to that, he had open borders allowing millions of people to pour in. What an administration that was. Worst president in history by far. As a result of these actions, the per cycle cost of drugs used in IVF will fall by an estimated 73% for American consumers. And the numbers are going to actually be very substantially higher as time goes by when it really kicks in for most of, I mean, think of those numbers. You know, I told the story last time because we were with Pfizer and Pfizer's doing something very similar. But I told them that my first term, I was so proud of myself because I was the first president in 28 years where drug prices went down for the year. And you know what they went down? 1/8 of 1%. But I was so 1/8 of 1%. Now I'm getting them down, Maria, 500, 600, 800%. In some cases, even more than that. It's hard to believe. But I was proud. I said, oh, wow, I'm the first one. 1/8 of 1%. And I was proud of that. Now I realize. And I called the news conference. Some of you are at that news conference, actually. And I said, ladies and gentlemen, congratulations. We've gone down by 1/8 of 1%. And now we're going down 500, 600, 700, 800%, Richard. So it's really something. For most administrations and all of the people involved in this kind of thing, this action would be a crowning achievement of their agenda for fertility health. But for us, it's really just the beginning. It's just the start. It's one of many things we're doing. Today, we're also taking historic steps to vastly expand access to insurance coverage for fertility care, including IVF, something that, as you know, was not covered, effective immediately for the first time ever. We will make it legal for companies to offer supplemental insurance plans specifically for fertility. That's never been done before. We're signing it in today with what we sign. Americans will be able to opt in to specialized coverage just as they get vision and dental insurance. They're going to get fertility insurance for the first time. So I don't know. You know, I don't know how well these things are covered. I see the Democrats like to take credit for all of the things we do. We do the things and they take the credit. But I figure if you do enough of these, eventually people are going to figure it out. The Democrats have done nothing. This will make all fertility care, including IVF, far more affordable and accessible. And by providing coverage at every step of the way, it will reduce the number of people who ultimately need to resort to IVF because couples will be able to identify and address problems early. The result will be healthier pregnancies, healthier babies, and many more beautiful American children. It's a big factor. It's a big deal. I'm asking all employers to make these new fertility benefit options available to their employees immediately. The initiatives I've just announced are the boldest and most significant actions ever taken by any president to bring the miracle of life into more American homes. And I will say Katie was great. As you know, she's a great senator from Alabama. She's the first one that told me about this. I had not known too much about it, and we worked very rapidly together, didn't we, though?
Mr. President, you said
we had everything passed, and Alabama then took care of it and passed it. Within a week, everything was done. Really, it was something. So I want to thank Katie Britt. There's no deeper happiness and joy of raising children. And now millions of Americans struggling with infertility will have a new chance to share the greatest experience of them all. So I'd like to thank all of the people that are here. And I think we'll start with Dr. Oz and Ms. Horn. We'll go through the list and we'll listen. And yesterday I did this and I stood for about an hour and a half as people spoke. And I said, this time I'm sitting right there and I'm going to watch you. I stood for an hour and a half like this. I said, you got to be kidding. Here we go. It was one after another, and it was wonderful listening to him. But I said, if I have to do this every day, Bobby, should I stand or sit? Thank you, Bobby. Please, Dr. Oz.
Okay. Mr. President, I'm going to jump in here real quick. I want to start by thanking President Trump. Sir, from the very first phone call we ever had, your support was strong. It was steadfast. It was unwavering. And because of you, millions of Americans are going to have a greater opportunity to bring the greatest gift, in my opinion, life into this world. Your support, your administration's support, it's a game changer. All of us here today are aligned. This is a celebration of life. It's a celebration of parents. It's a celebration of families. And it's a celebration for those people who want to one day be parents themselves. I think every parent can attest, and I certainly do myself, that the greatest gift that God has ever given me is the ability to be a mom. We want more people to have that opportunity. We want to make that easier and more affordable. IVF is what makes the difference for so many families that are facing infertility. So you've seen the numbers. It's either 1 in 8 couples, or some people say as much as 1 in 6 are actually experiencing issues with fertility. It's 9% of males and at least 11% of females that are facing these challenges as they work to build their family. The recommendations today that President Trump has set forth are going to expand IVF coverage to nearly 1 million more families, and they're going to drive down cost significantly.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.